The views and opinions expressed during this podcast are those of our guests. No one person speaks for AA as a whole.
Most organizations depend on outside funding, grants, sponsorships, corporate support, but Alcoholics Anonymous is not like other organizations. From its earliest days, AA made a decision to be fully self-supporting, declining contributions from outside entities, including any individual who is not a member of AA. Every dollar that keeps the doors open comes from AA members and AA groups. The General Service Office exists because members choose to support it. In AA, self-support is more than a financial policy. It's a spiritual principle protecting our independence, integrity, and focus while strengthening our unity, reinforcing our accountability, and keeping us aligned with our primary purpose. My name is Nathan, and I'm an alcoholic. Welcome to GSO. Every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. That's the short form of AA's seventh tradition. The long form shares that experience has often warned us that nothing can so surely destroy our spiritual heritage as feudal disputes over property, money, and authority. To help AA navigate this balance between self-support and spiritual heritage, the General Service Office created a new staff assignment to do just that. I sat down with Nick S., GSO staff member assigned to the desk. For those of you new here, GSO staff members are a rotating group of professionals who are required to be members of the AA Fellowship. Nick, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Nathan.
You are the first self-support and finance staff coordinator. Self-support and finance is a brand new desk here at the General Service Office. When did it start?
So this started in 2025 in mid-September.
And why do we need it?
By creating this desk, not only does it take the workload off the finance team to focus on their real roles, it allows us to make sure the hand of AA is there in that special worker, special kind of way. Sometimes finances could cause group problems, and people like to have a staff member who is an AA member present when they send that inquiry, so they could get somebody who's a little bit more versed in AA experience as it goes by the 12 traditions and the 12 concepts, and who's able to go into that repository and share that experience a little bit more unique with the language of the heart that us AA members experience. That's why we have the desk. So there's someone here who could talk to the CFO, but can also talk to an AA member. And I'm that bridge between both.
Being a brand new desk, you are learning how to navigate it, right? Since this desk has never existed before. How has the experience been so far for you?
It's been amazing. What I've found is that you see how thick the hearts of the AA members are for the person that they'll never meet by their contributions. I also just see the dedication and time of our boards, whether it's AWS, General Service Board, and our conference committee, like how dedicated we are to make sure this thing lasts, to make sure that our fellowship is able to get these materials, to make sure that we're fully self-supporting.
There's a pamphlet called Where Money and Spirituality Mix. Can you talk to us a bit about where money and spirituality mix?
What we do is we make contributions of our own money so we can keep the doors open so the next suffering alcoholic has a place to go to hear experience, strength, and hope from AA members. When you put money in the basket, that's you being part of the great whole. And it connects all of us, and it makes sure that AA is there for the next suffering alcoholic. We put money in the basket for our group so they could keep the doors open, pay rent, buy literature like the Big Book. And so we could ease someone's pain with experience, strength, and hope, sometimes a coffee and a snack, and carry that AA message, right? And then why do we contribute to and kick some money to the General Service Office, or as it would be written, the General Service Board, where the contributions go? Well, we want our literature to be produced. We want to have inventory of our literature. We want to be able to provide services to every member, you know, emails sent to the office, phone calls come in, you know, the meeting guide app. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of things for treatment and accessibility, produce these pamphlets and service material, this podcast that we're on, corrections correspondence. You hit on things like the literature desk, right? Creating new literature, creating new pamphlets. So all these things are tools to carry the message to the next suffering alcoholic. These are the things we're doing because of your contributions.
We discussed self-support a bit last season, mostly in relation to Tradition 6, which is about not affiliating with any outside entities because outside influences could divert us from our primary purpose. But there's more. What are other reasons we self-support?
Well, we do it for a lot of reasons. And, you know, I like to rely on the literature a lot. And I like to rely on the shared experience from the fellowship. So there's something called the Traditions Checklist from the AA Grapevine. And I like this question. How important in my recovery is the feeling of self-respect rather than the feeling of always being under obligation for charity received? I think part of the reason we do self-support is because we know where we've been, and we take somewhat of this responsibility that what was given to us so freely, there is a price to be paid. And in this case with self-support, when we talk about Tradition 7, what we're talking about is paying it forward so the next person has the opportunity to recover like us. And you'll see it so many times in so many expressions. You know, Bill talks about it in the speech he did in 1965.
We have been pondering the subject of our future responsibility.
It's commonly known as the kinship of common suffering, but I just love these themes. This is why we self-support.
For example, newcomers are approaching us at the rate of tens of thousands yearly. They represent nearly every belief and attitude imaginable. We have atheists and agnostics, people of many races, cultures, religions. Now, we of AA are supposed to be bound together in a kinship of common suffering.
And I think those themes kind of talk about everything that I could possibly dream of saying, and that's why we self-support.
What if, as a member or my group, wanted to contribute directly to the General Service Board? Can we do that?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of ways you can. You could go to the website. You could do it digital. There's some information to mail it in. There's some other ideas, like the birthday plan is for groups and members who may want to contribute to the General Service Office on their AA birthday. The suggestion is $1 per year, but members could contribute as much as they wish, up to $7,500. You could also call the office and get in touch with the member services team.
And it's my understanding there's no limit to group contributions.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you have any questions, once again, you could call my desk, email me, or just check out the contributions FAQs on our website, AA.org.
Hey, thanks so much for coming in today.
Yeah, Nathan, thank you for having me. It's a real privilege.
For more information on self-support and finance, you can visit AA.org. And to contact the self-support and finance desk, email selfsupportfinance@AA.org.
Find a meeting near you or a meeting online, download the Meeting Guide app on your mobile device.
The GSO provides lots of information on self-support. There are pamphlets and guidelines, this podcast episode, but it's also mentioned in a number of books, one of which in a surprisingly creative way. The book Living Sober is a staple of AA literature, demonstrating simple examples of how AA members throughout the world stay sober one day at a time, it can be especially helpful to newcomers. In fact, there are many AA groups that provide living sober at no cost to anyone at their meeting who may be new to AA or counting their first days of sobriety. The money question is addressed in a very interesting way, with a poem. It's called Investment Counsel, and we want to include it in this episode, but weren't sure how to approach it. Luckily, I happen to have my recorder with me at a local poetry cafe, and you wouldn't believe what I heard there.
Investment Counsel. A 5, a 6, a 5, 6, 7 in the first few weeks, without a drink when the wolf is at the door, and the sheriff's at the window, and you're sleeping on the floor, and life looks bleak and hopeless from a monetary angle. It's time to spend in certain ways to solve the awful tangle. That token or that bus fare to get you to a meeting, that dime to use the telephone for the necessary greeting, that nickel for expenses that makes you feel you matter, that dollar for the coffee shop for after meeting chatter. All these are wise investments for the neophyte to make. This bread, when cast upon the waters, always comes back cake. That's seventh tradition, baby.
You can find this poem on page 81 of Living Sober. To read or listen to Living Sober online, visit aa.org. To purchase Living Sober, you can check out our online bookstore or visit your local AA office.
In this podcast, we respect the anonymity of AA members. Last names are shared only for those who are not in AA.
The General Service Office provides the support and services highlighted in this podcast through funding that comes entirely from contributions of AA groups and members made to the General Service Board. The General Service Board effectively decides how those funds are allocated. The GSB is made up of Class A and Class B trustees. Class B trustees are alcoholic members of AA. Class A trustees are non-alcoholics. One of those Class A trustees is Terry Bedient, who brings a compelling point of view to the principle of self-support, not only as a non-member, but also as, at the time of this recording, the Interim General Service Board Treasurer. Terry, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today.
Delighted to be here.
As a Class A trustee, a non-alcoholic General Service Board member, when did you become familiar with AA's tradition of self-support?
I think it was something like 1976. One of my friends said, why don't you come to an AA meeting with me? He knew I wasn't an alcoholic, but I guess he thought maybe I could support him. Anyway, he took me to an AA meeting, and they passed a basket around, a nice little wicker basket, and I put a dollar in, and he said, no, you can't do that. So my impression was that since I was just a new person, that he wasn't going to take my dollar. So it wasn't until years later that I learned about AA's tradition of self-support. I didn't feel too rejected by that event, but I had a fun time over the years learning about self-support.
Along those lines, is there anything you'd like to share about those initial thoughts you had on self-support compared to now that you're General Service Board Treasurer?
It takes a while for a person who's involved in AA, the AA structure and General Service, to learn about the real important parts of self-support. And I think when I was first approached about potentially serving as a Class A trustee, my impression was that from my experience with the other, I think, dozen or so not-for-profits that I had served on, the part of the role of a trustee and being on the board was to provide a contribution. So I asked someone who was interviewing me generally how much of a contribution was a trustee expected to make. Was it $1,000 or $5,000, which, of course, if it got up to the upper level, I wouldn't be able to serve. That's when I learned that trustees not only are not expected, but not allowed to provide a contribution as a Class A trustee.
Right, right. What do people most often misunderstand about AA money and the concept of self-support?
I think the principle of only taking money from people who are members of your organization, and your organization is set up that anybody who wants to be a member can be a member, is a fascinating thing in the world. And it is a great conversation starter when I have a chance to talk with people about self-support and about people who are interested in supporting AA from the outside, such as other Class A's. This concept of rigidly rejecting outside money is really a fascinating concept. And I'll just share a couple of thoughts that I had, experiences Please. That I've had as AA treasurer. I served as treasurer for about 5 years, and we had a couple of occasions where we got contribution checks with multiple zeros behind it. Several were over $100,000. And you can imagine my instinct as the treasurer to say, wow, isn't this wonderful? Mm-hmm. But we discovered that the contributions were for people who really loved the fellowship of AA, but were not a part of the structure, weren't members of AA. Right. And so even though their love and support of the fellowship was important and appreciated, the self-support structure of only taking money from AA sources prevailed in this case. AA does have some limits, upper limits for contributions from AA members. But if you look at the fellowship, the average contribution may be on an annual basis $30 or $40 or $50. You can easily figure out what that breaks down to per month or per week. And what we know is if in the fellowship, if we think we have about a million members in the U.S., mm-hmm. don't really know the number, but that's what we expect. So if every alcoholic gave $1 per month, it would be totally self-supported without the need for looking for other kinds of revenue opportunities. AA has been rigidly focused with everyone's support of never looking outside AA for support, of only resting on the AA contributions to keep AA live and well and carrying the message to the still suffering alcoholic.
You know, a dollar a month, relatively speaking, doesn't seem like anything compared to what you get back from this program. For someone who might think their dollar doesn't really matter, what would you want to tell them to understand how even the smallest contribution can add up?
My thought is that there are really two pieces of this. One is what the person who provides the contribution gets out of that. What would a person get from a dollar a month? It would be contribution to one of the most important life-saving efforts that exists, in my opinion. So the other piece then, of course, is that if we can rely on a consistent revenue source, consistent contributions from the fellowship, then it provides the ability for the General Service Board, which is set up to support the fellowship, for expanding the kind of resources we can provide for groups and for members to share the message with the still suffering alcoholic.
Sometimes as an AA member, it's hard to put to words the importance of self-support and that intrinsic spiritual nature of it. And as a non-alcoholic, you have this different perspective and can kind of zoom out and see it and vocalize it in a way that is very clear. I'm really appreciative of that. Has the concept of self-support affected you personally?
Well, other than feeling rejected by them not taking my money, no, it hasn't affected me. So the spirituality concept really has affected me, though. And the need for AA to remain financially independent is critically important. I really believe the issue is focusing on this is one alcoholic helping another alcoholic. And that is done through contributions coming from those alcoholics who are helping their fellow alcoholics. So it's, in my view, more of a spiritual principle than an economic principle of making sure that we are consistent with our principle of one alcoholic helping another.
Can you speak to why it is so important for AA to remain financially independent from outside money?
Speaking as a non-alcoholic, if alcoholics think of this process as something to which they have to invest themselves, that makes a lot of sense to me. If there were ever a situation where the alcoholic might think, well, somebody else is paying for this, a big donor is paying for this, or a big company is paying for this, or some foundation is paying for this, then I think that the economic part might also affect the recovery part. Recovery part of investing oneself and one's life into the fellowship of AA and the structure of the 36 principles to say, well, I think feeling that one did not have to be invested in that would have a dramatic impact. Forget the economic part, but on the spiritual and recovery impact that the AA principles have.
I'm curious about your background. Could you share a bit about your professional background and some events that might have led you to your time now as a Class A trustee?
I got a master's in psychology and got another graduate degree in healthcare administration and ended up as a CEO of a hospital and had the opportunity to look at not just a hospital structure, but a statewide structure. And so that led me to having a position as director of the program that helps physicians in recovery throughout New York State. Mm-hmm. My career then was helping those physicians And many of them, probably most of those who are successful, decided to engage in the principles of AA. And so learning how that was helpful to them led me to wonder how I could be helpful to that structure. And of course, quickly learned that I couldn't do financial contributions, but maybe the service contribution is something that I could do. So I had met some people who were in AA. And the true story is that I interviewed to be a trustee and was not selected. 1 month later, I got a call from AAWS and they said, you know, we have an opening for a finance guy. Would you be interested in serving AA as the treasurer? And I said, well, I thought my higher power had let me off the hook, but since you're calling, I will consider it. So one thing led to another and I became treasurer of AA.
I was wondering if you could speak in a general way about some of the challenges you face as treasurer.
It is a lot like having a big desk with a lot of levers on it.
Yeah.
And so what you discover quickly is when you pull a lever, the lever is not connected to anything. That is the challenge, and that is the fun part of it. Because it, in the role of treasurer, one realizes that it is really not the treasurer and not AAWS that makes AA work. It is the support that we can provide to the groups, to the members, to carry the message to the still suffering alcoholic.
It's very cool to be able to hear your perspective of this as a non-alcoholic.
The idea that AA can help people is pretty fascinating. I don't know the latest tally, but there was something like 200 or 300 different organizations that have utilized principles of AA to set up their own support structure. So that, in my mind, speaks to the success of how the program works. And the self-support part of that is so important in all these other structures. So AA has been copied through dozens and dozens of other times throughout the country. And has, despite its success, been consistent in focusing on that simple message of one alcoholic carrying the message to another.
Terry, this has been incredibly illuminating. I'm very grateful for the time you spent with us today.
Delighted to serve. Thank you, Nathan, for letting me be a part of this.
When we drop something in the basket, it may not feel like much. But somewhere tonight, the lights are on because of it. A newcomer is holding a free copy of Living Sober, a phone gets answered, an email gets returned, the meeting guide app gets downloaded, a letter reaches someone behind the walls. No outside funding, no big donors calling the shots, just AA members supporting AA. So when the next suffering alcoholic reaches out, Alcoholics Anonymous is there, because we made sure it would be. And when each of us does our part to support AA, financially and spiritually, we help keep the doors open so those of us who need it can keep coming back.
Thank you for listening to Our Primary Purpose, a podcast produced by the General Service Office on behalf of the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous in the U.S. and Canada.